Hello and thank you for tuning in. We're excited to share a powerful and transformative message with you, brought to you by the Transformers Global Leadership Center. Our vision is focused on raising a new generation of Christian leaders who are called to bring about personal, national, and global transformation. Whether you're looking to deepen your faith, grow as a leader, or make an impact in your community, this message is designed to inspire and equip you to fulfill God's calling on your life. And here's the best part. You can download and listen to all our messages online. Simply visit www.transformersglobal.org and gain access to this life-changing content. You'll find practical insights and spiritual guidance that can help you step into your God-given purpose. Thank you for being part of this movement. Together, we can make a difference in the world. We look forward to walking this path with you.
I want to welcome everyone for joining us today for this conversation and this awesome meeting. I'm happy you made it. I'm discussing what I believe is one of the most important conversations I've ever had. I'm also discussing a conversation I believe is going to be one of the best conversations anybody here can have. What I'm going to share with you is not just something I picked up today or I picked up yesterday. It's something that I know that, throughout my life, God has, been revealing some of these key nuggets, and we have packaged it into a 5-week series. Okay. So every topic is dependent on the other. So I would encourage you, if it permits you, if time and your schedule permits you, not to miss even a single session, because each of the topic is dependent on each other. So we are starting, the theme of the series is a strong finish, bold start, preparing for the next chapter. And then the topic we are going to be discussing today is specifically charting your path with purpose. Okay. So I will begin by saying that God designed life to be predictable. It means that if we can be able to discover life principles, principles that govern life and live by it, it means that results or success is very predictable. Okay, so I find this conversation very important because growing up in Africa, all of us growing up in Africa, most of us, became religious because we grew up in a church family. We grew up, through the church process, or a family that worships God. So there is that religious mindset that we started, growing up with. And then often we don't know, and we are not taught that life is ultimately our making. Okay. So it's either you are making it with God or you are destroying it. But life is ultimately our making. So having a culture where we rely that everything that happens to us is an act of God, or everything that is happening to us is the way God wants it, most times do not give us the drive to become intentional and make the necessary change that we want in life. And that is why we are having this conversation, and I believe it's very, very important. I'll just read two scriptures to make this a valid Christian meeting. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible said, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it." He now said, "Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." So this is God speaking to Joshua. And he's telling Joshua, okay, all I need you to do is to study these scriptures, study these principles, okay, live by it, follow it. And then what happens is that you will prosper, and then you will be successful in everything you are doing. So my understanding from this scripture is that God is actually leaving life outcomes in the hands of Joshua. So God is saying, okay, so this is life. This is the principles that govern life. Make something out of it. So it means that our life and circumstances surrounding our life is ultimately our making, not as a result of what God has specifically designed for us. In Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, the Bible also said, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. You can also add blessings and sufferings. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Now, this is mind-blowing. He said, I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. He now said, oh, that you will choose life so that you and your descendants might live. So you see that God is even calling earth and calling the heavens to be a witness that the product of your life or the making of your life is as a result of your choices. So it's not as a result of saying that, okay, I am in Nigeria today, or I am where I am today in my life, in my level of success, because maybe that is how life was meant to be. He's saying, no, I gave you a choice of life and a choice of death. And he's even saying that heaven and earth is a witness to the fact that you have been given a choice. So it means that God calling a witness into the conversation is God trying to say, okay, I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've given you the power of choice. And then ultimately today, I have a witness that what you make out of this life is as a result of your own choices. It means that the outcome of your life is ultimately your making. One of the things that I hope to achieve, you know, through this series is that we will be able to get valuable life lessons, principles, okay, which are in the Bible, which God has taught me personally, which I've also observed in life, that can transform your life and eventually our society. One more thing I would like to also mention is that I don't hope I'm going to teach everything in this series, okay? I'm not hoping that change is also going to happen immediately. I believe there is a process for change, and that is why we have designed a process that can help you, you know, be intentional about changes, be intentional about the process of transformation in your life, so that you can emerge to be the person that you truly want to be in life, okay? Last week, I took time to share about our vision, our mission, our plan, some of the things we are trying to do, and that audio is also available on our website. So if you visit our website, transformersglobal.org, you'll be able to, if you visit the download section, you'll be able to download that audio so that it will give you an idea what we are planning and for you to understand that this is a process. It's not just a one-off conversation. It's a process to help you, you know, grow effectively through the process of transformation. Okay? So key things I want us to observe from the scripture we read and also from the title of this conversation is, first, life must have a chart. It means that life must have a path it will follow. Okay? So your life should not be lived in such a way that you just wake up in the morning or you wake up every year and then you just look at what life throws you and then you begin to live with it. It means that life must have a chart. Life must have a course. Life must have a path that it is meant to follow. Okay? So the second thing I also want you to get from this conversation is that you are the one that will make that chart. So it means that there is going to be one day in your life, you are going to wake up, okay, you sit down on the table, and then you ask yourself, I need to chart the course of my life. I need to chart the direction of my life. I need to chart where I am headed. Without you being intentional about making that choice, life is going to be, it's going to be a lot of happenings. It's going to be a lot of tragedy. It's going to be a lot of sufferings because you don't understand that you are the one ultimately responsible for that. Okay, so if you are supposed to make that chart, so whether or not you are making that chart, you're already making the chart. So for instance, if you know, someone said that if you don't make a decision to succeed, you are already making a decision to fail. So in other words, at the end of the day, it's all about your choice. Okay, so life must follow a path, life must be a chart, and then you are the one that will make that chart. And the top point I will also want you to know then is, for the best result, you need to chart that life with purpose. You need to chart it and be intentional about it. You need to chart it and be focused about the objective of that life. We have often heard that life is too short, okay? That means that you can't afford to be doing too many things. You can't afford to be trying to achieve too many things. The specific purpose or the specific objective of your life has to be known. And for me, I believe this is an important place to start, because if we have individuals who live their life without a cause, who live their life without a purpose, then what is going to happen is that we are going to have communities that lack direction. And we are going to have a Nigeria or a country or a continent that lacks direction. So basically, whatever we experience as a community is a culmination of our individual values. If I lack a dream as an individual, I'm going to lack a dream as a community, because it is the multitude of our dreams that creates the environment where we live in. Okay? So that is why it's important that the conversation of your life purpose, your life chart, because once I understand what my dream, my purpose, what I want to accomplish in life is, it goes a long way to start influencing the kind of environment I want to live in and the kind of environment I want to shape. Okay? So every individual is created with a specific purpose. Another word I would like to use with a specific purpose is a specific mission in life. So there is a specific mission for your life. There's a specific purpose for your life. And then everything that you are supposed to do has to be designed in such a way that you have to be on point. Okay? To maximize the next chapter of your life, you need to discover and master your mission. And that is what this conversation is about. Okay? To discover the next chapter of your life, you need to discover and master your mission or your purpose in life. Organizations have a mission statement. So when you look at an organizational mission statement, if you go to our website, you see our mission statement, for instance, it outlines the purpose of that establishment and what it hopes to accomplish. And then it's broken down into yearly goals. It's broken down into five-year plan. So for instance, where I work in my organization, in August, in the month of August, this was shocking for me. In the month of August, we had a management meeting. What was the management meeting about? We have accomplished all the goals that we had planned for 2024. So part of the management meeting was for us to now look at the specific plans that we have created for 2025 and see how we can bring it down, you know, move around resources, tweak it, so that we can now start achieving 2025 goals while in 2024. And what was going on in my mind while I was in that meeting with my boss, what was going on in my mind was, so it means that as an organization, we are already living in 2025. But it will shock you that there are many organizations that are still probably living in 2017 or 2023. So, but currently, we are already living in 2025. The 2025 plan has been moved down. Therefore, the 2026 plan has been moved down, because an organization is being built with focus, strategic, cutting-edge focus. And the question I began to ask myself is, so where am I even living? Am I living in 2025? Am I living in 2024? Am I living behind? What kind of plan or what kind of purpose is my life being organized around? And of course, it took me back to drawing paper, and I began to look at the purpose of my own establishment as a life. What is the, if you consider your life as a purpose, for instance, if you consider your life as an establishment, the next question I want to ask you is, what is the mission of your life as an establishment? What is the mission? What is the ultimate goal of your life? What is that thing that by the end of your life, you are going to ask yourself, I have accomplished this? What is your life mission as an individual? And the next thing I want to ask you is, have you written it down? You know, God challenged me with this thought so many years ago. I think that was the year 2016. God challenged me with a thought to write down my life mission and to write down my life goal. And I can tell you that most times when I begin to lose focus, most times when I begin to dabble into things that are not meant for me, things that are not designed for me, that mission statement constantly reminds me that this is what you believe you are supposed to be doing for the rest of your life. Most times people will ask me, I like what you are doing. You have been consistent over the years in your message, in what you are trying to do. Now, this is the secret. One of the things that is guiding me to remain consistent is that I am constantly reminding myself of what my life mission and what my life purpose is supposed to be. So whenever I go to the drawing board, whenever I go to the chart, I am constantly reminded that this is a good idea, this is a good objective, but you must remember that you have an ultimate vision, you have an ultimate goal. There's a destination, there's something in your heart that you are pursuing. Okay? So let me not bore you with a lot of rhetorics. Let me dive deep into it. How do you find purpose? Okay, I know this question might be in a lot of people already. Okay, discussing purpose, discussing life mission, but how do I go about it in the first place? Now, let me shock you by saying that life purpose or life mission is not something that is restricted to Christians. It's not something that is designed for people who worship God. Yes, this is a Christian meeting, okay? But it's not something that is unique to you. An unbeliever can find their purpose. Somebody who doesn't worship God, a pagan can find their purpose. And let me show you why. Because when God designed us, our purpose, our mission was encoded inside us. It's encoded in your design. It's encoded in the location where you are supposed to be born. Unless somebody else made a choice. I'm going to talk about that if time permits us. It's encoded in your DNA. You are born with your mission and life purpose in such a way. God designed it in such a way that you are not supposed to be going through life trying to figure out who you are and what you are meant to be. God designed life in such a way that while you are alive, things will be strategically aligned to show you what you are supposed to be doing and how you are supposed to be living your life. Okay? The next thing I want to also mention is that you find your purpose simply by embracing your design. So by the time you begin to understand who you are, by the time you begin to understand your making, and it begins to point to you what you are supposed to do in life, and you begin to embrace it, that's the key to discovering your life mission. Okay? So you don't find purpose, it is inbuilt. Another way I used to say it that might shake your mind is that purpose actually finds you. You don't find purpose, purpose finds you. Okay? Unless you are not listening or unless you are not paying attention. But purpose will always come. Like Jesus will say, I stand on the door of your heart and I knock. If you open the door, I will come in. That is also how your life mission is. It will come knocking on the door. It will come knocking on the door. So everything about life is designed to help us embrace our design. So God's intention is not to play hide and seek with you concerning your purpose. Remember, the scripture we read said, I am calling heaven and earth to bear witness. So God cannot be bearing witness on something that he has hidden from you. God cannot be holding you responsible for something that he has already made known to you. So he is holding you responsible simply because he has been making every effort possible to make sure that you understand your purpose. And your inability to respond to that is what now brings judgment. So in judgment day, how will an unbeliever be judged? An unbeliever will say, well, God, I never knew that you had this purpose for me. And God will say, no. Look at this, look at that, look at that. I even sent this person to talk to you. I even arranged that event. You refuse to embrace it. I even gave you dreams in the night. You refuse to embrace it. So you are not without the responsibility of knowing your purpose. Your heart, events, people, situations in your life are designed to draw it out. Events, heart, your heart. People who are in your life, situations in your life are designed to draw out your life mission and your purpose. Let me start from the Bible. I move into the secular and then we tie it up. First, when Moses was born, he was growing up. One day he saw two people fighting. The other person was an Israelite and he went to separate them. The other day, after separating them, there was also an event where an Egyptian was beating an Israelite and he went to separate the fight and ended up killing the Egyptian. Why was Moses responding that? Why was he suddenly fighting a battle that it looks like nobody invited him for? How come Moses, in as much as he grew up in the palace, he was born in wealth, but somehow there's that dissatisfaction in his heart that there was something more for him to pursue? What about David? Who invited David to the battle with Goliath? David was simply given a meal. Take this meal to your brothers and come back. But David came to the battle, he could not rest. He started asking questions. So if anyone kills Goliath, what will happen to the person? What will the person get? What will the person benefit? And the Bible said that while David was having that conversation, somebody whispered it to the king that there's a young man here who is asking questions. How come suddenly David is asking questions? How come suddenly David was interested? Nobody called him and said, David did not have a dream in the night. And they told him, David, your destiny today is to kill Goliath. There was nothing like that. It was his heart that was drawing him. And there were circumstances. What about Joseph and dreaming? Joseph just woke up one day and he started dreaming. And he started dreaming, he started talking about dream. One remarkable thing that happened in the prison was that even though Joseph was in the prison and should be consumed about the fact that he was suffering unjustly, he even noticed two people who woke up in the night and they were not happy because they had a dream. And he asked them, okay, share the dream. And they shared the dream and he interpreted. Joseph, who invited you to volunteer? Who invited you to start talking about dreams? Who brought you into this conversation? Nobody. On his own, he started responding to the situations and circumstances around him. Nobody prophesied to Joseph that he's going to be the prime minister. Nobody told Joseph that he's going to be the prime minister by interpreting dream. But even though that dream was what was responsible, what was God put in the life of Joseph to make him a prime minister in Egypt? What if when Joseph was having the nudge to interpret dreams? What if when Joseph was having the nudge to help those people and bring them out of their situation, what if he refused to respond to it? That is why I believe that the reason why selfish people are poor is that there's a great link between selfishness and poverty, okay? And the reason why selfish people are poor is that they never go out of their way to help others, never go out of their way to do things. They will have to find a motivation. You know, you have to give them money. You have to show them why they should help. You have to show them they walk into an organization, they don't want to volunteer. They don't want to serve. Because there is always, what will I get? What's my benefit? What do I bring out of this? And you don't understand that most times, those situations are arranged to help you to understand yourself primarily, which is the key to your success. Not necessarily that, you know, you are doing something to please somebody, but this is a key to your own life. This is a key to your own destiny. This is a key to your own success. Look at Jesus. The Bible says that while he was 12 years old, he will go into the temple, he will sit down and be listening. Nobody invited him. Why are you interested in some of the things you are interested in doing? Why do you wake up with some certain kinds of desire? Why do you notice that people are always inviting you to some kind of situation in your life? Have you tried to look at the pattern of your life to try to understand what is life talking to me about? What is life speaking to me about? When I tell people that I've always known I'm going to run for politics, I'm going to run for election, I've always known. But I've never really put forward myself to run for election. Sometimes I will just stay on my own, thinking. Somebody will call me on phone, oh boy, come, invite me to a meeting. And from there, the rest is history. When I tell people, when they ask me, are you going to run? I said, I don't know. I don't even have plans of running. People think that, oh, maybe he's just pretending. He doesn't want to say the truth. But the truth is that I really, whether I want it or not, I just got invited. Because I believe that it is life speaking to me. It's life giving me a call. It's life telling me, okay, handle this. It's life telling me, and all my life, for some reason, I can't just tell. All my life, I just learned to say yes to responsibilities. All my life. I remember how I started pastoring. I was inside the car with my pastor one day. I was driving him. And we are having a conversation, and he just thought, he said, you know, you're a mighty man. I think you should start pastoring that church. The church I was attending, the pastor was transferred. And that was how the conversation started. They said, I think you should just start pastoring that church. I said, sir, do you think I can do it? He said, yeah. I think you have what it takes. I think you should start pastoring the church. I just said, okay, so I started. Those times I remember trying to prepare messages. I remember trying to search the Bible. I would wake up, I would say, what will I preach today? That was when I started attending pastor's meeting. That was how I even got trained. So early in life, I started learning how to say yes. I started learning how to respond. And that was how I started discovering a lot of things about myself, developing a lot of things about myself. And today, when I look at people, I see the same pattern. Look at Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle grew up with a desire to serve God. Do you know that when Paul was even persecuting the church, he felt he was doing God a service? So you see that desire, that burden to get things right, to move in a particular direction, gave him that cutting edge of discovering his life mission. When I listen to people like Elon Musk, when I listen to people like, Bill Gates, I see the same pattern. They were all simply responding to the life events, opportunities. And the more they do it, the more they discover their design, the more they discover the things that they are supposed to do, and the deeper they go into it. Let me share two stories that was very remarkable for me early days in my life. It's the story of Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi came to South Africa. He graduated as a law student. Then he came to South Africa to practice law. From the time he purchased train tickets. But the train ticket he purchased, they told him he cannot stay in the class that he paid for in South Africa. And Gandhi was like, what is going on? By the time he started integrating with the society, by the time he started moving around with what was happening in South Africa, he saw how Indians were suffering. And he was giving Mahatma Gandhi sleepless nights. And then one day he was asking himself, what is the essence of studying law? What is the essence of the fact that I went to school to study law? And here my people are suffering and I cannot help him. And that was how Mahatma Gandhi stopped practicing law and turned into an activist and ended up going to India. From South Africa, he went back to India to pioneer the national transformation of India. Today, you cannot talk about the success of India as a nation without Mahatma Gandhi. Did God appear to him in the dream? No. Did a prophet prophesy to him? No. He was just simply responding to his design. Same thing with Mandela in South Africa. When he came out from law school, he joined ANC, he started struggle, he started making speeches. From there, he took the battle on his head. He was responding, he was growing, life was opening. Let me even say, God was opening more opportunities for him. Sometimes we think that God is just helping Christians. That's one mistake that we are making. You see, God wants the design of life. God wants his design to be accomplished. Most times, you see God even using an unbeliever heavily more than a Christian, simply because that unbeliever has embraced and understood their design. You see the principle everywhere in the Bible. When Joshua went to destroy Jericho, the prostitute was saved. You see it all over the scripture. When Ruth followed Naomi and later got married to Boaz, he was just embracing design. For some reason, he couldn't just leave this woman, and she ended up marrying a rich guy, being now involved in the lineage of Christ simply by the act of faith and following design. I will still come to that part. Let me quickly say some things. My time is running out. This is a 5-week series, so let me not rush it. Let me make sure that you get the best of it. What are the reasons people don't find their purpose, or people don't find the design? The word purpose has been used a lot. I try not to use it. So please permit me to be changing it to design and mission. Why is it that people struggle to find their purpose, their mission, or their design? Let me share that principle with a story. If you are very close to me, you must have heard this story. I love the story so much, and it keeps reminding me about my uniqueness. It's a story about a race in the animal kingdom. There was a race in the animal kingdom. They told the animals that live in the sea to bring their best animal to represent them in the race. The animal that lives on ground, and the ones that fly in the air. So for the air, they brought eagle. For the land, they brought a horse. And then for the sea, they brought a shark. And they said that the first race is going to be on the floor. They say, on your mat, get set, go. The horse took off. The eagle was just trying to run with the leg. You are not allowed to fly. You have to run. It's on the ground. And then the fish was just jumping up and down, jumping, trying to make it. Guess who won the race? The horse won the race. The second race was in the sky. They said, okay, on your mat, get set, go. The eagle went into the sky, disappeared. The horse will jump up and jump down. The fish will keep jumping up, jumping down. By that time, he's now crying, what out, what out, what out. And guess who won the race? It's the eagle that won the race. They say, okay, the next race is inside the ocean. They say, on your mat, get set, go. Remember, the fish has been crying water. So the kind of energy the fish will jump inside that water is not anywhere on earth. The fish went inside the ocean and disappeared. The eagle was there flapping with the wet wing, and the horse was just trying to barely, you know, keep his head above the water. Guess who won the race? It's the fish. Now, if we ask who won this race in its entirety, you'll discover that everybody is a winner. That means that you are a winner when you understand and embrace your design. Your inability to understand and embrace your design is what actually makes you a failure. Failure, first of all, starts by not understanding who you are. Because what will happen is that, let me say it in a way. People will see you as a failure simply because you are operating outside your design. Can you imagine that the fish was trying to compete in that race with the horse? It's going to be seen as a failure. That fish is going to remain on that floor as a failure till the day he will die, will attend their burial. Say, hey, fish, this is a good fish. Oh, hey. This is how the fish died. People will just bury you out of pity simply because you don't understand your design. The same thing with a horse trying to swim. The same thing with an eagle trying to run. So whenever you find yourself in an environment that was never meant to be for you in life, you are going to struggle and you are going to look like a failure. So what are the reasons why people don't find their purpose? First, comparing their design. We live in a society that compares a lot. From the time you are in class, from the time you are even in your family, they will tell you, look at this, your brother, he's good with academics. Go on, you don't know anything. Look at this one, he's good in this one, he's good in that one. So we grow up in an environment that tries by comparison instead of understanding our uniqueness. And most of us have grown up into that society where we are constantly comparing ourselves. So when you listen to this person, you want to speak like that person. When you look at this person, you want to look like them. So you want to change this about yourself. You want to change that about yourself. You end up changing everything about yourself that you now lose sight of who you are meant to be in the first place. And this is what leads to ambition. So you find ambition is finding something in somebody else that was never meant to be for you, and then you just start focusing all your life to achieve those things. Comparing your design. The second one is substituting, which starts from comparing. By the time you start comparing, what is going to happen is that you are going to substitute it. So you enjoy and see how people play football and they earn so much money playing football, and you just assume, okay, maybe I'm going to play football, and you substitute. Maybe you are supposed to be a singer into playing football, and then that's how you now start struggling for the rest of your life. People substitute their design, and by substituting their design, they end up not working on their design. They end up not working on their life mission, because they have embraced another person's mission and they are running with it. The next one is not being consistent with your design. So sometimes you find out that people will even discover what their design is, discover what their mission is, but they are not consistent with it. Okay? That is why we are designing Transformers in such a way that we want to help you to discover your purpose, develop it, and then become consistent with it. Success is not something that happens overnight. Success is something that happens over time of consistency. Someone said that success is constancy of purpose, constancy of mission. Okay? Not finding pleasure in your design. Sometimes what you are supposed to do in life is not what you ordinarily want to enjoy doing. And the reason you are not enjoying it is not necessarily because that your design is bad. The reason you are not enjoying it is, remember, you first of all started by comparing your design. And as a result of that comparison, it makes you to lose pleasure of what you are supposed to do. Let me also say this. We are not designed by God to seek wealth. We are never designed by God to seek wealth. So your purpose and your life mission was not covered in wealth to say, okay, seek wealth. No. If you read the scripture, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? God and his way of doing things. And he said, every other thing shall be added unto you. The success or the wealth that comes with following your life mission is simply an addition. It means that by the time you set into that course, we are not even thinking about money in the first place. When I go on social media and I see people write statements like, in the next 5 years, I'm going to be the richest man in Africa. Or in the next 10 years, I'm going to be the richest man in the whole world. What I usually ask myself is that the richest man in the whole world never knew he was going to be rich in the first place. The richest man in the whole Nigeria never set out to be the richest man in the whole Nigeria. It's by responding to life mission, being faithful, being consistent over time, it becomes a dream that they never thought of or imagined. So seeking your design is not synonymous with seeking money. In fact, if you seek your design effectively, it can bring money. But the goal is not the comparison of money. And that is why I am very sad where we find ourselves as Africans. Almost people can't make a decision today without bringing money into it. People can't make decision about career without asking which career can give me money. Nobody is asking, what am I created to do? What is my design? What are the things that are unique to me? Why do I have a wing? Why do I have hooves? Why do I have a fin? Why do I have certain kinds of desire, certain kinds of inclination? Why am I not responding to life the way I should respond to life? Those are the questions that should be paramount in your head, not finances. In fact, when you pursue your purpose the right way, you will always end up with money. Not in all cases, and you shouldn't be a judge. People shouldn't judge you because you have money or not, but on the kind of value that you are giving to the society. So it is purpose, not ambition. Okay. I wrote something down which I think is worth noting down. What is the difference between ambition and life mission? Ambition is for you. Ambition has a lot to do with your esteem, your identity, your wealth, your recognition, your self-importance, things that make you stand out. Those are ambitions. What is mission? Mission is about others. Your purpose is about others. It's about embracing your design. Why? Because when you embrace your design, you fit well into the society. When you don't embrace your design, you scatter the society. So it's about your design. It's about your legacy. It's about something that lives on. No matter the amount of car you drive, no matter the amount of houses you build, it's going to deteriorate here one day. Those cars will one day be out of design. There should be something more, legacy that we are leaving behind. For ourselves, for our family, for our community. It's about continuous impact of a generation. And this is something that we are lacking in Africa. It's something we are lacking in Africa. That is why you will see an average African leader will steal money and won't even use that money to develop their own community. They prefer going to abroad, buy a car, buy a house, buy different kinds of things. You take the resources that is supposed to share within a people, within a community, within a society to make that society successful, and you ship it abroad where it is wasted and it does not benefit the people who they have. So you see, ambition takes you out of design and it causes more harm to the environment where you are coming from. So your purpose is not necessarily to raise a living. It's not to make a living, but it's to bring down God's desire, God's value system, in a way that it influences the society. It advances human cause, and it helps people to also know God. Quickly, let me mention this. What will help you test your purpose? What are the key tests for your purpose? The first one is it God-inspired? Is it God-inspired? I'm speaking to you now as a Christian. Is it God-inspired? Okay, is your life mission God-inspired? The Bible said, Jesus said that all the commandments are summarized in this. He said, love God, love yourself, and love your neighbor. So say, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. So that means you need to also love yourself. So the summary of it is love God, love yourself, and then love others. So is it God inspired? That is for God. The second one, when you love yourself, does it embrace your design? I'm going to share key things about your design next week, Tuesday. Make sure you don't miss it. Okay? So does it embrace your design? And the last one, which is love your neighbor, is what? Is it human-centered? Is it human-focused? These are the three tests of your life mission. The three tests of your life mission is it God-inspired? Does it embrace your design? And the next one is it human-centered? Is it human-focused? Okay? And then, of course, the last one I will add to it is, does it make you humble? Does it make you humble? You know, ambition magnifies human ego. It magnifies self. There's something about mission that makes you humble because you know it's about others. It's about serving others. It's about making life happen for others. Okay? Satan said in Isaiah 14, verse 13, a scripture that is ascribed to Satan. He said, for you say to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountains of God far away in the north. So you see, it's about self. It's about magnifying yourself. It's about things you want to have. It's about things you want to accomplish. And you find that a lot in our environment as Africans. It's all about what you want to accomplish for yourself. It's all about what you want to do for yourself. That's what you wake up every day. Most of us are depressed simply because of the things that we don't have, not what we are not able to give to others. So here is the summary. Prioritize your relationship with God. Prioritize your relationship with God. I find it very, very, very important. And most times when I'm losing my focus, man, I'm losing my eyes on my mission. This is something that brings me together and keeps me in check. In the course of this conversation, I'm going to share a testimony with you that happened to me when I came to UK. Before, somewhere, I know we'll find time and I will share something with you guys. But you see, your relationship with God helps to guide your focus to where you're supposed to be. The second one is embrace your design. Start responding to situations around you. Start responding to activities in your life. Start responding to it. I remember when it came to my heart to write a book, Power Shift. I remember the very first time it came, I called one of my friends. I didn't even have the zeal. I said, write a book. I called one of my friends that also had an election in 2019. I said, okay, I have an idea. Come, let's write a book together. I didn't even have the confidence to write it alone. So I was suggesting to the guy, let's write it together. Let's share our story. He didn't buy the idea. He said, no, he doesn't think it's something. You know, he just kept on postponing it. And at the end of the day, one day, the desire was just there. It just kept on coming. It just kept on coming. And during NSAS, you see, events. It started as a desire. And then from there, it became an event. During NSAS, a lot was happening in Nigeria. And I kept on telling myself, this cannot be the way out. Young people are just dying. We just need to organize ourselves. We just need to be intentional about politics. We just need to get involved. It's not by endless protests and shouting. It doesn't change anything. You know, look at the protests that happened, Arab Springs, all over Arab. Nothing came out of it. They say young people are rising. Those nations are still poor. It's not rising anything. We have to get involved politically and we have to be intentional. And it was in the midst of that NSAS, the passion came again. I started writing. All of us were indoors. During the indoors, I penned that Power Shift book within a month. Within a month, the book was ready. Because the pattern of those activities, all those things, and if I look at that event of me being faithful in writing that book, if I tell some of you that it was that Power Shift book that made me come into Osibanjo's circle. So the book led me to meet the vice president of Nigeria. Just by faithfulness of saying, okay, let me write a book, I met the vice president of Nigeria. So you see that What if I didn't respond to that book? What if I didn't write it? What if I didn't write it? When it was coming into my heart to run for election, what if I said, no, I won't run. Let me leave it. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the money. Who am I, self? What do I think I can do? What if I didn't respond? Many of us walk past opportunities every day. And the reason why we have not made any significant progress in life is because we are focusing on the wrong thing. Life is not about you. Life is bigger than you. Life is about service. Jesus said, the greatest among you shall be your servant. That is what he said. So embrace your call. And then the last one I want to mention is, let go of the enemy of the best, which is the good. Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure and he sold everything he had to buy it. Most times, to find out what you are supposed to embrace in life, you have to let go of what you're already doing. Most times, to move into the right place you are supposed to be in life, you have to move out from where. Oh, let me share this story quickly. I was listening to a man, and is it David Johnson? He shared a testimony how he ended up doing some of the things he did in life and accomplishing the results. He said that when they were small, his parents have him. He was the youngest, and there's an older sister. So he said that when they gave birth to him when he was small, the younger sister had a dream in the night. Yes, the parents were Christians, of course, but the younger sister had a dream in the night. What was the dream? That he saw them. The young lady had a dream in the night where he saw them crossing over to the other side of the world. Because he's a young girl, doesn't really know anything. But he just saw them, their parents, everybody, they crossed over to the other side of the world. And then the father and the mother started pondering over that dream. What could this be? They understood in their hearts, after pondering the dream, that they need to relocate to America. That son that they just had, that if that boy is going to achieve the dream that God called him to achieve in life, that the parents need to relocate to America. They are born in Britain, British citizens. And that was how his parents started making plans to relocate to America. Relocated to America. The guy grew up in America and then started discovering and doing all the things that he was supposed to do in life. So you see that even when parents understand where the destiny of their children is tied to, they can make a move in order to bet that design. So sometimes you discover that your design needs a location. Your design needs some specific relationships. There are people that will enter in your life in order to bring out an aspect of your life. And if you are not good with building relationship, if you are not good in developing yourself, you discover that at the end of the day, you are going to mess up your design. Okay, so I need to shut it down. If you leave me, I will just keep going. So remember, next week, every topic we are going to discuss, at the end of this session, I'm going to, you know, introduce the next topic for next week in our group. If you are not in the group, just ask someone who invited you. They can give you access to the group. I'm going to drop the message of our next conversation on Tuesday. Remember, I said that every conversation is dependent on each other. Okay? So today I'm talking about understanding your design. We are going to follow it up by next week. Okay? So we are also setting up a small group. What I call it is Purpose Accountability Group, that will help you for transformation. And if you are interested in being a part of that group, also go to our website, transformersglobal.org, and click Join Now. And then we are going to provide you more information on that. Okay? So remember, you need the right approach, you need the right knowledge, you need the right process, and you also need the right environment in order for you to experience the real you, okay? And that is what we are, that is why we are running this program, that is why we have designed this process, to help you discover and become your best you, okay? I want to leave you with this question, which is key to a leadership mindset. Are you on a mission? Is your life on a mission? Or are you simply building an ambition? Thank you very much. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening. Please do follow us on our social media handles on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Transformers Global LC. on Twitter X at TGlobalLC.